The following is from Friday, May 13th, 2016.
Dear friends, in celebration of Israel Independence Day, which we marked yesterday, it is a pleasure tonight to welcome Rabbi Michael Boyden, Rabbi of Kehilat Yonatan in Hod HaSharon, Israel. Rabbi Boyden was born in London and is a graduate in Hebrew literature from London University. He was ordained by the Leo Beck College in London and served as the rabbi of Cheshire Reform Congregation near Manchester before making Aliyah with his wife and children in 1985. Rabbi Boyden is a past president of the Israel Council of Progressive Reform Rabbis and served as the director of its National Rabbinic Court. In these capacities, he represented the Reform movement on the Ne'eman Commission, established by the Israeli government to resolve questions around the recognition of Jewish conversions, and subsequently on the executive set up by the Jewish Agency to establish a joint institute to prepare candidates for conversion in cooperation with the Orthodox and conservative movements. Rabbi Boyden was the founding rabbi of the Ra'anana Reform Congregation, for which he spearheaded a successful 10-year campaign to receive municipal land for a synagogue and raise the necessary funds to build it. And since 2002, he has served as the spiritual leader of Kehilat Yonatan, named in memory of his son, tragically killed on active duty in Lebanon. There, too, he successfully won from the municipality land for a building and now is engaged in a capital campaign to construct it and a community center, too. Recognizing the role we believe Reform Judaism can play in shaping a more inclusive, pluralistic Israeli society, Temple Emmanuel's Philanthropic Committee has proudly supported his efforts. Rabbi Boyden writes regularly for the Times of Israel and a variety of journals, and is a frequent guest speaker in North America and Europe, where he addresses issues related to the Israel-Palestinian conflict and the challenges facing progressive Judaism in Israel. And the title for his talk tonight will be Why Israel Needs Reform Judaism. Mickey, not all of us are able to visit Israel as frequently as we might wish, but in some small way, we can express our commitment to that land and its people by letting you know how grateful we are for your presence. And so with thanks and appreciation, this Yom HaAtzmaut, we welcome you.
Shabbat Shalom. Good evening to all of you, and thank you so much for being here and for giving me an opportunity to speak to you. For me, as someone who lives in Israel and grew up in England, it's always a thrill to be in your exciting and bustling city, see what's happening here, and feel the vibrations of this tremendous country in which you live. On this particular evening, I'd like to express my gratitude to Rabbi Joshua Davidson. Josh, you've been so tremendously friendly, hospitable, and welcoming, as have your colleagues and the leaders of this community, and it's for me a tremendous privilege to be able to be here at Temple Emmanuel, a congregation which is truly the flagship of the American Reform Movement, and indeed it could be said of the entire Reform Movement, wherever we may choose to be. And I'd like to also at this same time offer a particular thank you to Temple Emmanuel for the assistance which you have offered to Kehilat Yonatan, to our congregation in Israel, in furthering the work of Reform Judaism there. As you know, this week we have celebrated both Yom HaZikaron, Remembrance Day, and Yom Ha'atzmaut, Israel's Independence Day. I was not there for either of those 2 days. In fact, on Yom HaZikaron, Israel's Remembrance Day for our fallen soldiers, I was in a British Airways flight on my way from Tel Aviv to London, and watching on the map in front of me as we progressed across Europe, I saw that we passed by two places that were familiar to me, Bytom and Wrocław, both of them in Poland. Bytom, which before World War II was Boyten, which was where my family's name came from, and Wrocław, then known as Breslau, which had the second largest liberal synagogue anywhere in Europe, burnt down by the Nazis on Kristallnacht, a congregation in which my father celebrated his bar mitzvah before when, as a student studying law in Germany, he was forced out, as all the Jews were forced out, and fled and made his way to England. We have a song which contains the words Al Hadvash Va Al Ha'oketz, for the honey and for the sting. And we live in Israel with both the honey and, yes, too, with a sting. But I have to tell you, in spite of my own personal and family loss, that I feel immensely privileged to be able to live in the State of Israel, a country which is the fulfillment of a dream in so many ways. We've all seen the material of the Jews in the concentration camps, of those early settlers who came to the State of Israel getting off those boats close to the harbor in Jaffa, those who dried the swamps and fought the malaria. And when you come and see where Israel is today, the place that we have taken in the world, it is an incredible success story. We began with 600,000 Jewish citizens, and today, 68 years later, there are over 6 million Jews living in the land of Israel. Every second Jewish baby born in the world is born in Israel. It truly is something very special. Yom HaZikaron, Remembrance Day, followed by Yom Ha'atzmaut, our celebration of our independence. A day of sadness followed by barbecues. And I have to tell you on a personal level that the transition is a very difficult one. Because we are all there in the cemeteries across Israel, because we all know someone who has fallen. And then towards the end of that day, people are getting ready for the evening and you feel the change in spirit, you smell the barbecues, you hear the sound of the firework celebrations and demonstrations. And there's something there that is very difficult to transcend, to move from one spirit to another. Some people say we should separate those 2 days and give people like me and my family time to recover before we move on to our celebration. But in many ways, Yom Ha'atzmaut, our independence, reminds us of the purpose of our sacrifice. To be independent is to do what you want to do, to be able to live your life as a Jew without being dictated to not have to hide your Judaism, as many Jews are having to do, alas, across Europe today. It is that and so many more things. But independence also reminds us of our responsibilities. Israel's Declaration of Independence, signed in 1948, includes the words, "The State of Israel will provide the development of the country for the benefit of all its inhabitants, will be based on the precepts of liberty, justice, and peace will guarantee full freedom of conscience, worship, education, and culture. Would that all of that had been fulfilled. As Reformed Jews, we face a struggle in Israel for equal rights. We fought the battle for conversion so that our converts, whether converted in Israel or here in North America or elsewhere, would be recognized as Jews in the state of Israel, and I want you to know that that is a battle which we won. Many of you will know the struggle of the Women of the Wall for the right to conduct egalitarian prayer at the Western Wall of the Temple in Jerusalem, a fight which has yet to be concluded successfully. We also work for the recognition of our marriages. Why should it be that an Orthodox rabbi in Israel can officiate at a marriage which is recognized, but then when I and my colleagues officiate at marriages, they are not recognized by the state of Israel, and that couple whom I married, they then go to Cyprus, meet with a probably Greek Orthodox clerk at the local city hall, and there register their marriage, which is recognized by the state of Israel. That is an atrocity. It is an absurdity. And yet I want you to know that I come here with a message of hope, of celebration, and of the incredible success of Reform Judaism in Israel. In spite of the fact that our marriages are not recognized by the state of Israel, Israeli couples flock to us in huge numbers to marry. I think I get maybe 3 or 4 phone calls every single week. And my first question is always, tell me the date. Because there are so many people who come to us as Reform rabbis because they seek an alternative, because they want an egalitarian ceremony. And it's difficult for us to cope with all of those applications. We don't receive equal funding in the state of Israel. Orthodox Judaism is funded to the tune, and I do not exaggerate, of $1 billion of public money per annum. And we as a Reform movement receive almost nothing. And it is within that reality that we seek to develop a movement, and if I may say so, have made incredible progress. You know, it would be terribly easy for Reform Jews around the world to turn their back on Israel, because Israel has not fulfilled all of our hopes and dreams in so many ways. And yet the message that I want to bring to you this evening is that we as Reformed Jews must do precisely the opposite, because Reform Judaism needs Israel just as Israel needs Reform Judaism. Taking part in your service this evening, I was moved by the immense recognition of the importance of tikkun olam, of repairing our world, that gains expression within your prayers. Israel is in need of tikkun olam. It's in need of the message of Reform Judaism. And we cannot afford to turn our back on Israel, because nearly half of world Jewry lives there today, and the Jewish population is growing and growing and growing, and soon Israel will probably have more Jews living in it than the entire rest of the world. Reform Judaism needs to be there, not only for Reform Judaism, but perhaps primarily also for Israel. And almost 50% of Israelis have no religious home, because what the Orthodox have to offer them does not speak their language. They seek an alternative. They seek a Judaism that they can relate to. And that is something that we have to offer. It's not easy. It really isn't. I remember a few years ago I was invited to say the memorial prayer on Remembrance Day in my town of Hod HaSharon. And when the Orthodox got to hear of it, they threatened that if I was allowed to say that prayer, they would destroy the amplification system And the mayor turned to me a day before the ceremony and said, "Sorry, we've removed you from the service." It's not easy to live in a situation where the local Orthodox rabbi is funded by the state, where the synagogue is built out of state money, where the programs of the community are funded out of public funds, and yet where we have to go it alone. And yet we are flooded. This very Shabbat, we have two bar mitzvah ceremonies. A colleague of mine, who is a member of our congregation, will be conducting the services. I spoke about the weddings. And next Tuesday, I will fly back to Israel, God willing, for our adult education program, which attracts, and I do not exaggerate, hundreds of Israelis every single week who come to listen to our speakers, to our cultural, educational Jewish program. If you're free next Tuesday, come to Kilat Yonatan. Our guest will be the renowned Israeli author, Amos Oz. Although we've only been going for 12 years, we have over 1,500 households in Hod HaSharon and the surrounding area who feel that Kilat Yonatan is their home. As I said, we need each other. If I may say so, I think that Israel can help enrich the Jewish identity of your children and of your grandchildren. Those who are familiar with the Birthright Israel program know how much we have to offer in terms of enhancing the Jewish identity of our children and grandchildren. And you can help us spread the message of religious pluralism, of openness, of tikkun olam, of repairing the world that we as Reformed Jews can offer and know so well. As you heard in the introduction, I fought for 10 years in Ra'anana to get public land to build a synagogue. The mayor didn't want to help us. He said to me, "Rabbi Boyden, why should I help you build a Reformed synagogue here? I'm mayor because the Orthodox supported me in the elections. I'm in coalition with them. I can't kick them in the teeth." And we had the same battle in Hod HaSharon. The mayor didn't want to give us land until we threatened to go to Israel's Supreme Court, that bastion of liberty in our country. And we got the land, public land, worth something like $2.5 million, on which to build our synagogue and community center, and we have already submitted plans to the town for approval. But they said to us, "Show us you have over $1 million in the bank, otherwise we're not going to give you that land, we'll take it back." We've got halfway. I'm not here to fundraise, but I do want to say to you, if you know people who could help us, people who could make that dream come true, not just for us, but also in terms of expanding what Reform Judaism does in Israel, then please try to help us with that. And how does all of that connect, as I come to the conclusion of my presentation, how does all of that connect with the Parashat Shavua, the portion that we read this week, Parashat Emor? It does so in one sentence which appears almost at the end of the parasha. Mishpat echad yelechem. Let there be one justice for you. Kager ka'ezrach ye. Let the stranger be like one who is a native of the land. Ki ani Adonai Eloheichem, because I, the Lord, am your God. It's a message of openness. It's a message of equality. It's a message of justice. It's a message of acceptance. As we celebrate Israel's 68th birthday, help us build a Jewish state with God's help that will incorporate those values in a land in which all of us can feel we have a stake. Ken Yiratzon, may it be God's will. Amen.